I don't typically get phone calls.
Oh, okay. So at least we know why it went away.
Yeah.
Anyways, people.
For what it's worth, I didn't answer the call.
Oh, what was the last thing you heard?
You were talking about Artem.
Did I get to the point where I demand that the UFC work his next two fights so he can retire 15-15, 1-1?
That would be a happy ending. Yeah. He's 2-5 in the UFC. Do you think they cut him after this fight or keep him around? Because they can find somebody way worse than Michael Johnson for him to fight.
I mean, 2-5 these days, that's not that bad in the UFC. Some of those guys are like, 1-8 and shit like that. So, why not? 2-5, that's two wins he's had. I mean, yeah. That's two more than CM Punk.
Artem, and he rarely gets finished. Like, of his 15 losses, one by knockout, two are by submission, and the other 12 are decisions. So I think he's just getting robbed from the judge.
They should have him fight Jim Miller. I feel like Jim Miller's 2-5 in his last seven fights.
Or would wreck him.
I know, but maybe he... Well, I think Miller could use the money, though. And
now that Miller's got his Lyme's disease in check.
Oh, that's right. Well, he could still use the bribe, and he's willing to take a dive. I'm impugning Jim Miller's credibility as a human being.
Have you heard that Artem's a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
A whole blue belt, you say?
Pretty
wow.
Good.
Yeah, I mean... For a guy that trains all day, every day, and that's all he does. When you're a blue belt and you're a striker who keeps his hands down, you're clearly learning a lot there at the Straight Blast gym in Dublin.
We also had Misha Serkinov defeating Patrick Cummins by arm triangle choke at 240 of the first round. Weird way for Cummins, of all people, to lose a fight.
Yeah, Serkinov looked good. He came out there, blasted him right away. Defended the takedown really easily, took Cummins down with ease, got the mount. Cummins looked like a fish out of the fishbowl, who somebody then threw onto a jiu-jitsu tournament, and he didn't know what to do, is the point. And then he got choked by an arm triangle right away. Like, it wasn't like a lot of setting up or anything. It was just like, up, I put my hand up, and Misha's like, oh, if you're going to do that, I'm a 30-year-old man from Canada who negotiates my contract with Dana White is at dinner with my wife, so I'll take it. Yeah.
Andre Sukumtat defeated Jonathan Martinez, unanimous decision. Sean Vellante defeated Ed Herman by split decision.
Oh, yeah.
And Court McGee defeated Alex Garcia by unanimous decision.
Yeah, we had heroin addicts and gingers, and I'm not sure which one is worse.
Anything on the undercard catch your eye?
No.
Did you watch it?
I'm sure I did. I just don't remember anything off the top of my head.
There was a fight on Fight Pass. This guy named Don Madge, who's supposed to be pretty good, like a guy a couple of years away from being something special, but he supposedly looked really good. But I did not actually see that fight, so I can't comment.
I'll believe that the UFC thinks he's a top prospect when they don't have him fighting Moncton.
Fight of the night went to Nasrat Haqparast versus Thibaut Gouti, and performance of the night went to Anthony Smith and Don Madge. So there you go.
Good for you, Madge.
Madge. Imagine that.
Oh, I hope you never say that again.
I feel like you're not that into puns, and it's like my go-to.
Well, it's just that it's generally considered the lowest form of humor. Often employed
by who?
By the intellectually disabled.
By snobs.
Yes. Well, I'm a humor snob. I have a very sophisticated sense of humor, as everyone's aware. Penis, penis, cock, cunt. So, yeah. Okay, I actually kind of laughed at that.
In other news, Khabib's manager, Ali Abdelaziz, teases big news that will blow your mind on Twitter, reads the headline. Verbatim on Twitter, Ali wrote, this was on October 28th, a few days ago, "We will blow your minds. Big news coming at Team Khabib. Fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji, praying emoji."
Oh, that's what I want to see out of the Muslim man with connections to terrorism. It's fire
There's
and
a praying. Debate. There's a debate if it's the prayer or two people high-fiving. I can't confirm what that means one way or the other, but I always look at it as someone praying.
Looks like a prayer thing to me. Although I don't know if Muslims do their hands together like that. I'm pretty sure they don't.
Usually bow, right?
They bow. They have like their hands open, like they're gonna hold a giant platter or 2x4 or something like that. Because that's how God works. He wants you to hold the 2x4 when you pray to him. I'm guessing this is probably some bullshit like sponsorship thing. Like he's gonna, you know, any joke I make, I'm so sensitive because I'm woke, and I feel like it's gonna be taken the wrong way. People are gonna think I'm insulting Islam, that beautiful religion where you can throw gay people off of buildings and stuff like that. But I would never do that. I would never impugn the credibility of people who don't eat pork. I don't know what I'm doing. Just fuck you, Ali. That's the point. The point is, what, fuck you, Ali.
Any theories? There's rumors going around. Possibly a fight with GSP.
It's in the news enough that it's going to happen, but I don't see GSP being ready right away. I feel like a GSP fight needs to be announced 4 times before it happens.
Floyd Mayweather.
That's not going to happen.
Conor McGregor rematch.
Not going to happen. I mean, that's not what he's announcing. If he was, because Conor would have done something before Ali would have. You know, Conor would have had some like, last day of the potato field's going to go back to the grind type of deal or something.
My question is this. What kind of fight can they book while Khabib is still suspended, waiting for his follow-up hearing to determine how long he'll be suspended completely?
Well, it depends.
Because he's only, like, temporarily suspended right now until, I don't know, I think he's got another hearing in November or something with the Athletic Commission where he's supposed to be there and they'll ask him questions and shit, and then they'll determine how long they're really going to suspend him.
Yeah, well,
like, can they even be working on anything, right? I mean, I know behind the scenes you can do whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But they can't announce a fight until they figure out how long you're suspended for.
You would think, however, new era, new world, new president. And it's possible that he's just going to be fighting in Russia for Putin. As Putin says, fuck your American contracts. I don't care. And it's also possible that Khabib Nurmagomedov maybe one day looked at in history books in similar vein to that is Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Like he started a world war?
Yeah. His death will start a world war.
Did you not think I would understand the reference?
No, I did. I was just hoping you wouldn't spell it out for the crowd so that we could Dennis Miller this bitch.
Okay. Just tell jokes that no one understands. We have enough of those deep cuts as it is, I think.
Well, I like to think that we're not isolated. We're just rewarding people with a deeper experience.
Yeah. Like the Misha Sirkinoff dinner, Dana White wife joke never tires.
Let's face it. If you know who Misha Sirkinoff is, you've probably heard that he went to dinner with Dana White. Cause what else would you know about her?
If I ever meet Dana White, that's what I'll ask him.
Hey, you want to go to
my one question?
You want to go to dinner?
No. What happened at that dinner with Misha?
He probably sat down, like, listen to this guy talk. Like, I think I'm worth this much. I think I'm worth that much. And Dana's like, okay. Yeah, we're not going to pay you that. Okay, well, how about this? I don't think I'm worth that much, man. I don't really care what you think you're worth. Your name's Misha Sirkinoff. Everybody thinks you're Eastern European, but apparently you're Canadian, and you don't have a manager. I'm not really concerned that you're going to find a real profitable deal elsewhere, dipshit. Enjoy fighting in Moncton on the undercard.
So, officially, it is a done deal. Last week you said it was bullshit and you didn't think it was going to happen, but the UFC has traded their greatest champion ever, Demetrius Johnson, for Ben Funky Askren.
They didn't trade him. I said that they wouldn't trade him. This wasn't a trade.
What was
this? Mutual release at the same time. Totally different. Mutual release. It was actually a mutual release, and then they both signed new contracts at the same time. You can't really trade those type of contracts, I don't think.
I understand.
So
sorry.
I'm right. I'm never wrong. I'm not
you
wrong.
You more intimated that it just wasn't going to happen.
You inferred that. I didn't intimate it. Your failure to understand the very complex nuances of my speech is not my fault. I'm sorry that I'm on a different level than people, and they don't understand that I only focus on the trade aspect and acknowledging that there was no governing body and a union involved to okay the trade. I knew that there wouldn't be a trade. However, I did foresee a possibility of a dual mutual release at the same time, followed by a dual new contract signing. But I didn't want to get into that last week because I thought it might go over everybody's head.
Melky Kawa's taken a lot of credit for it. He's Johnson's manager.
I read a whole bunch of shit from him on MMA Junkie.
And what was your takeaway?
That he did a good job as a manager. It sounds like he kind of helped connect people. And, you know, one of the few times I've seen a manager actually do something for a fighter that isn't just, Dana says this is your offer, you should take it. Like, he got his client. And it sounds like it's going to work out for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Everybody seems happy with it. I can kind of, I actually think it's a good move for Mighty Mouse at this point. So, good. Yeah, good for everyone. Except for the fans.
Yeah.
We have to watch Ben Askren.
Well, nobody watched Johnson. You know what I mean? It's not
like.
But he
did do the coolest submission in UFC history, and Ben Askren's going to fucking dry hump someone for 25 minutes and then do it again and again. And I don't think dry humping should last 25 minutes.
Askren has been doing a good job on social media, Instagram, Twitter, that sort of thing. He's basically trolling every top welterweight in the division. So far, he's gone after GSP. Who's Darren Till, he's really going at.
I bet.
Who else is on
Darren here? Till seems like he's just made for Askren to embarrass. Like this big, jacked up, huge, strong muscle head who can't wrestle, and Askren just comes in and says, I'm just going to grab your leg and ruin your life.
I'm rolling through some of Askren's tweets here, and he retweets Jordan Peterson, who wrote, 91% of those who view my videos are male. Why? Why so few women? And Ben Askren writes back, you aren't attractive enough, Jordan.
Ooh, sick burn. Nailed him.
She's kind of funny. Trying to see. He's been working it. He's been all over Twitter. Dylan Danis. He's going at it with Dylan Danis. I'm not exactly sure why, because he's in a different company and is 1-0 as an MMA fighter.
Maybe Ben thinks he was traded to the United States. And so he could fight anyone in the United States promotion.
Maybe. He wrote on Twitter, lastly, shut up for a while. Stop directly copying your idol shtick. You weren't even the best at BJJ. You were Gary Tonin's bitch. So maybe you could try to have some success at MMA instead. Just like burying people. It's pretty good.
Askren's awesome. He gets it. I don't know if he gets it, but he understands life. Okay, he doesn't get it in the sense of he's not like an insider who understands the business, but he gets it in the sense that he knows how to live life. Like, he is comfortable with himself as a man and just does what he wants. I admire that.
Sure. I like him going on about being blocked by Dana White, because White blocked him years ago, because they have a history where there were failed contract negotiations and both guys talk shit about the other one in the media. So at some point, White blocked him on Twitter, and Askren was on Helwani's show, and they're both blocked by Dana, and they were kind of joking around about it. But like, he actually pulled out his phone and he's like, let me check, see if I'm still blocked. And this is like 5 days after he's been signed to the UFC. He's like, yep, still blocked. It's rude, Dana.
Don't block fighters, Dana. It does look bad. And it also, I don't think you should block anyone ever anyways. You look petty. You look like you've been gotten to. You don't ever want to look like they got to you. So just mute them. Mute Dana.
Who do you think Askren will fight first here?
Colby Covington.
Okay.
If I'm the UFC, I think that's the perfect fight for a number of reasons. One, Colby's a big deal. Although, I guess Colby might be in line for the title fight next. Who knows what's happening with that? Because, you know, what's-his-face drastically overestimates his drawing power and value to the company, so it might take off a year or two. Tyron Woodley is something enough. But yeah, no, because Colby can't strike, and he can talk shit. And he's basically Ben Askren 2.0 or 0.5, depending on how you like to look at things. And
I think that's a bad fight for Colby, because it's like It's actually the perfect fight for Askren, too, because he's fighting somebody who can't strike and wants to wrestle. And you know Askren's going to be a better wrestler than Covington, you would think.
And if you're the UFC, I think every once in a while what you got to do is you got to take your two boring fighters and have them fight each other and eliminate one of them from contention. So you only have one boring contender.
Well, the thing about both of them is that they're willing to talk. It's not like John Fitch and Jake Shields or anything. At least, like, in the cage, they're boring. But outside, they're working it, which makes it a little bit better.
Yeah, the only downside is that they're, again, it's 2.0. They're the same guy. And their trash talking is somewhat similar. Right. You know, they're both boring wrestlers who have a – okay, Kobe's much more unabashed. In his, I'm Donald Trump in MMA. But, you know, Ben's got his right wing deal there a little bit too. So, yeah, there can be only one. It's the rule I learned from Highlander, and that's how the UFC should proceed here.
The UFC has a date for its first pay per view of 2019, and the promotion will go head to head with Bellator. UFC 233 will take place January 26th at the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. The same night, Bellator hosts its heavyweight tournament final between Fedor and Ryan Bader at the Forum in Inglewood.
Wow. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're the UFC, I mean, they're coming off a giant pay-per-view with Jon Jones and Cyborg. So I don't know who else they have to fight there. They're going to want to draw because you want to look like a bitch to Bellator and Fedor. So who have they rumored to have in the main event? Nothing?
Let's see. I forget their Henry Cejudo.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck you, Bellator. Are you going to compete with Henry Cejudo, motherfucker? Woo-wee.
White told the Times no fights have been booked for the cards. Speculation will start up quickly, though, that flyweight champion Henry Cejudo, a Southern California native, would be a natural fit for the show. And with former champ Demetrius Johnson now headed to one, the door is open for a super fight with TJ Dillashaw.
I liked it. Now the door is open. Why wasn't it open before? He is the champion. He could just be like, hey, I'm champion. I'm better than you. I don't have to fight you anymore. I beat you, you know, by split decision after you beat the fuck out of me before. The fucking Mighty Mouse now fights in fucking, I don't know, some part of Asia that isn't safe. All because he lost on one judge's scorecard, lost one round. One round on one judge's scorecard, and Demetrius Johnson could still be an American. How sad.
They could do a Diaz fight there. It's California.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Nate doesn't have anything coming up, and he's ready.
That's probably what I would do.
They could create that 165-pound title.
It's funny. Next to this article, the most popular link on this is MMA Junkie is Khabib Nurmagomedov's manager has ballpark price tag for next fight. $50 million.
Sure. Just make up shit, you dumb fuck. Just fucking make it up. Remember, though, Khabib doesn't care about the money. He's got honor.
Right, the irony.
I don't know if it's irony. Just hypocrisy.
I don't know the difference.
Lack of understanding of your place in the world. I'm actually talking about you now.
On TMZ Sports, Ali said, Khabib can retire now. He's rich. I'm rich now, too. He made me rich. We're good.
Oh, that's how you should talk. That's exactly. I mean, I remember that one time I pulled in about 10 grand from a case. And all I could think is I looked at the widow whose husband had passed and whose money I had saved. I looked at her. I said, hey, I'm rich now. Isn't this good? Can you imagine a lawyer coming out like, ladies and gentlemen, we're very happy today to have awarded my client. My client got $7 million. From the city of Chicago, as they've settled for the wrongful death of this 15-year-old boy. And now I'm rich. That's not how you talk, dipshit. Also, he lives in Dagestan. I'm sure Khabib could have retired after, like, his first UFC fight. How much, like, I feel the dollar goes pretty far in Dagestan. Do they even have cash registers there? Do they even have the internet? I bet they're all using the cell phones.
Like, Ali went on, Ben Askren, Woodley, none of these guys can touch Khabib, especially if they're scared to get tired, and these guys, they get tired. Now, I'm not even worrying about Tyron or Ben Askren. I'm worrying about somebody bringing $50 million to $100 million to the table. None of these guys could bring $200,000 to the table. I don't really care what they say. The other guy we just fought, he said he made $50 million. I think he's a global superstar. Khabib bypassed him.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about Khabib drew that pay-per-view with his long history of being the top draw in every UFC major pay-per-view of all time. Was Khabib Nurmagomedov. That's his name right there. Sure. America can't wait to watch an out-of-control violent Muslim who starts riots. Yeah, that's a fucking top draw there.
Hey, idiot. You have a guy speaking with Putin, Erdogan, and the other guy is selling liquor in the corner store, Ali said. It's not even in the same fucking planet. You've got a guy right now meeting with President Putin. President Putin actually having a sit-down with him, Erdogan. And you have the other guy selling liquor, driving a truck. Good for him. Whatever. It's not our business. He does what he does.
Yeah, that Conor McGregor is selling a product that if he tried to sell it in Erdogan's home country, he'd probably be murdered because that's how they roll there. Yeah, great job there, Khabib. You have managed to ingratiate yourself with murderous dictators. You're really a fucking winner. Knock the guy who's – look, what kind of, he's genuinely trying to start a business and make money doing something honest. You know, he's selling a product. That's a thing. Khabib is meeting with men who are monsters, who probably have killed people just to be initiated into some sort of club. Putin seems like the kind of guy that absolutely was forced to murder someone as they recorded it in the late 70s using a piano wire.
Frankie Edgar is injured and being forced to withdraw from the scheduled UFC Denver main event against Korean Zombie. His manager, Ali Abdelaziz, confirmed Friday night.
The people of Bahrain will be sad to see their favorite son not fight.
That's when I started getting into this whole Ali thing. I'm like, why? I'm like, that's half an American flag sewn in with some other flag. Then I had to like figure out what the flag was. I'm like, Bahrain.
And then you had to look up where Bahrain was because we were.
Well,
American.
I knew it was like.
You didn't know where the fuck was. You had a general.
No, I knew it was one of those oil countries on the Gulf. Yeah. I knew that.
You had some. You didn't know it was on the Gulf. You did not. Yeah, you did not know it was on the Gulf. If it,
I swear to God,
bullshit.
I
bullshit. If it had been between,
I didn't know what the flag was. If it, I'm like, ah.
If it had been, if it had turned out it was between Afghanistan and Iran, you would have been like, yeah, okay.
I don't know. I feel like I knew where it was for some reason. You're the one that's bad at geography, not me.
How dare you?
Korean Zombie will now fight Yair Rodriguez on November 10th. So Yair, who's usually considered a pretty big featherweight, is going to have to make 145 pounds on about 2 weeks' notice.
So Yair gets scheduled for a fight, refuses that fight, gets fired, gets rehired for the same fight that he refused, gets injured before that fight. That fight happens on the undercard of his show, and as a result, Yair gets that headline.
Correct, on the 25th anniversary show, yeah, in Denver.
Dana, your threats are gone. Nobody's going to believe your shit anymore. They know the game. They know, and honestly, this is a good life lesson for people to doubt the efficacy of capitalism. The fighters are realizing their value. Yair is figured out, I can do whatever the fuck I want, and the UFC is going to keep hiring me because this company doesn't have any rules. All the rules are gone, man. They need fighters more than fighters need them. I can go to Bellator or One and make all that big, big, fat 50 cent money. So fuck you, Dana.
Moving along here.
Speaking of,
I forgot about this one. No, we'll finish. We'll finish with him. That belongs in stuff this week, I think.
That's right. Yeah, I couldn't remember what 50 Cent did other than I remembered it was fucking hilarious, and I'm glad now I remember it.
UFC Hall of Famer Stephen Bonner charged with DUI after being detained by citizens.
Wow.
Is the headline, I mean, on Bloody Elbow.
There's nothing worse than being arrested for a DUI by somebody that's not even a cop. Also, what are the odds that citizen had a regularly calibrated breathalyzer with him? That's pretty good coincidence.
Bonner has been booked on a felony DUI charge after he was reportedly speeding and driving erratically on Interstate 15 in Las Vegas. Troopers got a report around 1:15 on Sunday afternoon, 1:15 p.m., of a red Cadillac CTS moving at speeds above 90 miles per hour and making unsafe lane changes on Interstate 15. While troopers were responding, dispatchers got calls that multiple drivers had surrounded and stopped the Cadillac about 10 miles north of the resort corridor. A trooper arrived on the scene and found people had been physically restraining the driver identified as Bonner, who appeared to be incoherent. Bonner woke up while the trooper tried to cuff him and allegedly resisted before the trooper and people were able to restrain him. The trooper allegedly smelled alcohol and noticed signs of intoxication in the driver. Medical staff responded and said there was nothing medically wrong with him.
Well, besides the alcohol poisoning. But, I mean, we don't trust medical professionals to make moral judgments, I guess. They're not qualified to understand the wrongness of it. You know, not that I condone drinking and driving, because I don't. But I bet it would be really fun to get drunk and just drive super fast. Like in like on the Salt Flats or something like that, where like, you know, you couldn't hurt anyone. I bet it'd be fun as fuck to do. Like, actually, I bet it'd just be fun to drive a car real fast. I've never really driven a car fast. So, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is I support NASCAR.
TMZ also noted that one of the citizens who restrained Bonner was armed. He has since been charged with DUI, third offense, resisting an officer, and traffic offenses.
So you're telling me that a good guy with a gun saved the day?
Yeah. What I'm picturing is Bonner like racing down this road in Nevada, and a bunch of he's swerving around going 90, and a bunch of other drivers decide to like swarm his car and like get him off the side of the road, pull him out of the car and restrain him. Like, if I see that, I'm just driving. I might call the cops or something,
yeah,
but I'm not trying to get that car off the road. Like, who the fuck does that?
Imagine you're some tourist and everything you've ever heard in life about Las Vegas, and you show up and suddenly you find yourself like the middle of the Las Vegas desert as a horde of people drag a man from his car and point a gun at him. And you just got to be like, huh, I guess what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas after all. Son of a bitch. They don't fuck around out here.
No word on how this will affect Bonner's pro wrestling career.
I would assume it just gets him a push.
He's apparently been doing a little WWE developmental,
really?
And some indie wrestling, yeah, in the last few months.
I bet Dick Murdoch is impressed with his actions. Dick Murdoch feels like the kind of guy that would have drank and drove a lot down the south. Back then when you could just hit a black guy with your car, and if you were drunk, they'd just be like, well, he was in the way. And you'd be like, that's what I was saying. I think that's the plot of To Kill a Mockingbird.
I think Dick Murdoch died recently.
I think he might have also. That may be why his name is in my mind. He probably turns out he's like a sober Jehovah's Witness or something like that. But I like to think he's a hard-drinking Southern racist that murders black men.
That's a nice thought. I can see why you'd like to think that.
Yeah, it would make him a hero.
Speaking of potential murderers, did you hear about that guy who was sending top Democrat politicians bombs in the mail last week?
What?
Yeah, it was like a big news story. Huh. Middle of last week, there was this guy
who... I did hear about that, but I heard about it in the worst way possible. I wish my mom went into surgery that day, so I was, you know, just... I wasn't... Oddly enough, I wasn't on the internet. I didn't have any clue what was going on with all that shit. Mm-hmm. And when I, like, finally, like, at the end of the day, checked the news, I saw, like, all this stuff. And I was so sad that I didn't get to, like, follow in real time. It's like, and we found another bomb, and another bomb, and another bomb. Like, I bet that would have been so much fucking fun. It's kind of like experiencing 9/11 in real time versus reading about it. Like, if you read about it, you're like, oh, yeah, a bunch of planes hit or whatever. But you kind of know how the story ends. Where I, you know, in real time, 9/11 was exciting. You're like, oh, when's it going to end? Is there going to be another? Oh, the fourth fucking plane? Holy shit. Like, I spent all day on 9/11 thinking, there's going to be more planes.
So fun.
Not another fucking plane since. 17 years later, and these assholes haven't flown one fucking plane into a building.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. And Bush. Thanks, Bush. Obama's just taking credit for it. Like, he's taking credit for this great economy of Trump's. By the way, if the economy just all of a sudden went in the shitter, You think Obama's going to be sitting there going, boy, I really wish I hadn't taken credit for everything that's happening right now. Like, this looks really bad. Or do you think he just blames Trump? Be like, hey.
You just blame Trump. Yeah. Trump's change in policies
that's,
finally
that's true. Yeah.
Had its effect, yes.
Probably the reason things went down the shitter, too, if we're being honest.
So this guy from Florida, shockingly, was arrested Friday and charged in connection with mailing more than a dozen bomb-like devices to prominent Democrats. His name is Caesar Sayoc. He's 56 and a registered Republican from South Florida. But the reason I bring this up is, as part of the investigation, Sayoc's white van was impounded. The van's windows were covered with pro-Donald Trump and anti-Democrat decals and stickers, including images of crosshairs on the faces of Hillary Clinton, filmmaker Michael Moore, CNN correspondent Van Jones, and others. Sayoc's van also had a sticker logo of American Top Team on it.
Who didn't see that coming?
One of the biggest MMA gyms in the country, easily. Dan Lambert, founder of the gym based in Coconut Creek, Florida, denied Sayoc having official ties to his stable of fighters and coaches. Lambert told ESPN.com, nobody knows him. I called around, not in the membership database either.
I bet this happens all the time.
Wait, what?
Okay, lots of things here.
People send bombs.
Okay, I bet two things happen last time. Lots, all the time. One, I bet you MMA gyms are frequently called saying, do you have any connection with this violent man that we've just arrested? I bet that.
Fair.
I bet American Top Team has just like a fucking like a script that they follow with an algorithm. Like, if yes, go here. Oh, he was only a blue belt, so we didn't fear him. Oh, he was a purple belt, we kept an eye on him, or something like that. Also, I bet that every time some crazy asshole does something violent, if he has any bumper stickers on the car, some detective's got to call everybody with one of those bumper stickers to be like, all right, what is this? You're into the Girl Scouts. They got to call the Girl Scout group troop. Did you ever see any violent signs? Did he ever get out of control with the American Samoans or whatever the fuck it is? The American Samoans, just Samoa. I think they just call them Samoans, don't they? They don't call them American Samoan cookie. That'd be an interesting cookie. Be like a regular, it'd be like a Samoa cookie, but with a lot more fat in it.
Should have just gone with Thin Mints.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Look, I just went with what came to mind, all right? Yes, in hindsight, I should have gone with Thin Mints or maybe, I don't know what the other ones were called. So, yeah, I have Samoans. I don't even know what they're fucking called. Do they have coconut in them?
I think so,
yeah. That's why I don't know what they're called because I don't eat them. It's disgusting. What kind of monster eats coconut with a cookie? That's fucking ridiculous. Cookies should have nothing but sugar and butter. That's all a cookie should be made. And maybe like some sort of like frosting. That's it.
A sticker for Combat Night, an MMA promotion based in Florida, was also seen on Sayoc's van.
Making this the greatest publicity Combat Night's ever received.
Well, Combat Night provided a statement to MMAfighting.com saying, Combat Night is not any way affiliated with the individual arrested today in connection with this week's terrorist acts. Combat Night absolutely disavows any political violence or threats of violence, unless it's in a cage. They didn't say that.
We are a political organization
that supports MMA athletes in our local communities. We are relieved and pleased to hear that our remarkable law enforcement agencies were able to quickly apprehend the suspect without further incident. We have held over 100 events across the state of Florida, so we have a ton of fans. It is unfortunate that one of our fans is affiliated with this, but they are in no way associated with Combat Night, and he has never fought or worked for us.
That is such a good response. Like, I'm blown away by a fight promotion having that well-articulated, well-thought-out kind of press release. Tells me that, again, my theory is correct. They get called about a violent shit a lot.
They just had that saved.
Like, they got to
pull up the bomb suspect one again.
They've got to just be like, fan of ours committed violence. Oh, we got a lot of form letters for that. What act of violence was? Did he beat his girlfriend? Because we got a lot of wife beaters in here. No? DUI? Because we got a lot of bomb. Yeah, we got a bomb one. Yeah. Bomb one. It's Florida. Like most... It's Florida.
Most like employers have ones for like job recommendations or references. And they have ones for like criminals who blow buildings up and get arrested for domestic violence and stuff.
Do they do employers really have standard form letters for job recommendations and shit?
I've had to write a bunch of job recommendations over the years, and I just kind of cut and paste and move some names around. And yeah,
doesn't seem like as much of a recommendation.
Well, it depends on the situation, and I change some of it up.
Is it like Jose over here is good at washing dishes and stuff?
That's racist.
Accurate, I bet. I bet you have a fucking person on your staff named Jose that washes dishes.
There's no one named Jose working at my restaurant.
Is there somebody of Hispanic origin that washes your dishes?
Not currently, no.
A lot of Haitians.
Haitians right
now. Fuck, I forgot that's a country too. Damn it.
There's a lot of countries.
Yeah, I hear there's like 100 of them or something.
There's over 200 countries in the world, I believe.
Depends on how you define country.
Sovereign states.
Depends how you define sovereign state.
How many countries on Earth, Google? 193 countries.
As recognized by the United Nations, I bet.
Correct. What? Two countries are non-members. So 195 countries in the world today.
Who's not a member? Gabon or something like that, I bet.
Countries that are non-member observer states, the Holy See and the state of Palestine. Oh,
honestly, I was curious how they handled Palestine. I mean,
Taiwan, the Cook Islands are not included.
The
count of 195 either.
I don't know what the Cook Islands deal is. I don't know who claims that one, but the Taiwan.
Do most people know what the deal with the Cook Islands are?
I assume it's the British disputing something with someone over. I don't know where they're located. I'm going to guess the Pacific.
Wow. India is really catching up to China in total population.
Yeah,
China's
India's
at
fuck.
One point. Well, China's at 1.4 billion and India's at 1.3 billion. I didn't realize they were that freaking close.
We really need to stop the economic development of these countries.
They can still have sex even though they don't have money.
Yeah, but the money's keeping those people alive. Like I think we're getting to the point where we need a famine.
It's kind of interesting though that the population like just exploded over there like crazy, and it really hasn't, I mean, anywhere else.
No,
I mean,
the population's exploding everywhere except for literally in white countries. Like Africa, if you want to see something fucking terrifying, look at the birth rate in Africa. It is astonishing.
The U.S. is still the third most populous nation in the world.
Yeah, because the Mexicans keep coming up.
There's negative immigration.
Haven't you seen that caravan?
Back to Mexico.
Haven't you seen that caravan? They're just flooding us. 10,000 people might show up. My gosh, we can't handle those kind of numbers.
Yeah, that's like 200 a state.
That's almost a Bellator. I should start measuring immigrant caravans and Bellator show attendance numbers. Ooh, a really good Bellator show is arriving in San Juan.
Indonesia's fourth.
Yeah, again, poor people breed a lot. They got nothing else to do, and they can't afford condoms.
Interesting.
And they don't have fancy methods of birth control, like pulling out. You want to see something crazy? I was looking at yesterday the difference between Pakistan and India.
As far as what?
Well, because somebody in a Facebook group I'm in brought up – it's a real group for smart people to talk about important issues.
Wait, you're a member?
I kind of just make troll comments, I'm not gonna lie. But kind of, yeah. They're trying to like, why is this country doing well? Why is this country doing well? And I think the guy's really trying to rip on Islam, and I was like, I'm all in. And so I was like, the difference between India and Pakistan, because Pakistan was India until they separated a couple of decades ago. Pakistan's GDP is $300 billion. India's is $2.5 billion. India's got a pretty big country.
They're huge.
Yeah, like they still got a horrible, evil caste system that is oppressing untold millions of people, and they're all dying of malnourishment and lack of plumbing and shit like that. But a lot of people there, yeah. A lot of people in a smelly country that everybody agrees smells bad. apparently good food. I don't know, though.
Yeah, it's weird because I always look at, like, that's probably what the world was like in the cities, like, 200 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, at, like, yeah. The start of the Industrial Revolution where they're pissing in pots and dumping it in the road and shit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
for
there's
sure.
Still, like, there's still sort of, like, farm animals around, but there's also, like, some sort of, like, motor vehicles and cars, and it's just a clusterfuck. And, like, in 200 years, maybe they'll be more similar to what we are now, and God only knows what the U.S. and modern nations now will be like in 200 years. But
I'd like to think that that's what Houston looks like, because Houston has no zoning regulations at all.
How dare you besmirch the home city of the great black beast, Derek Lewis.
Because he's not champion yet. He hasn't brought that winning mentality to Houston, and they need it. You can ignore the World Series they won last year and some of the NBA championships.
He's possibly going to bring home a championship.
Oh, possibly at all.
Saturday night at UFC 230 in MSG.
He's going to get it done for everybody in New Delhi. Woo, Bombay represent!
This is the show that was one time headlined by Alexander Gustafsson versus Yoel Romero for an interim light heavyweight title. Then it also had Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier as a potential headliner.
For an almost also maybe new title.
Said Sajara Eubanks versus Valentina Shevchenko for the women's flyweight title. But now we have the true people's main event of Derek Lewis taking on Daniel Cormier
in one
for
month,
the heavyweight championship of the world.
In 1 month or so, they scheduled or somehow planned four different title fights for this show, and only one of them is an actual real title.
So obviously, Lewis had that big post-fight speech after his win over Alexander Volkov on the last show. He claimed he wasn't ready for a title shot and has no cardio, but took this fight anyway because he was offered a lot of money. Daniel Cormier has a bad hand injury and can't close his fist, but took the fight on short notice because he probably thinks he can beat up Derek Lewis pretty readily.
He's probably right about that, but
this is one of those fights where I feel like it's going to be proven there's levels to this game. kind of like the Volkov fight. Like, here's the thing. Derek Lewis, 9-1 in his last 10.
How is that
possible? He wins fights. He hits hard. But it's like he's not a great fighter. Like, you watch him, he gets tired. He gasses out. There's no ground game. There's really no, like, movement or anything on his part. But he hits hard. Like, if he knocks you down and you land on your back and he jumps on top of you, you're fucked. You're going to get ground and pound and destroyed. And if he lands a good punch standing, you're destroyed. But it's like Daniel Cormier is a real fighter. He's won the light heavyweight title. He's won the heavyweight title. He beat Stipe. Like, if you had Stipe versus Derek Lewis, like, Stipe beats Derek Lewis 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
And it's just like Lewis is kind of a brawler who's landed some good punches and squeak by guys here and there. He's had a bad back. He's had other, like, he broke his hand. He's had some medical issues too. But I just see DC being able to take Lewis down and just kind of grind this fight out. I can't imagine Cormier trying to stand and strike with him.
This is a weird fight, and I can't believe I'm saying this. The longer this fight goes, the more likely it is that Derek Lewis wins.
Okay.
Because I really can't see how Cormier doesn't take him down and immediately finish him in the first round. I mean, Derek Lewis has nothing on the ground. He doesn't know how to grapple at all. He's going to be in there with a world-class grappler.
Right.
But so that tells me that the longer the fight goes, somehow Derek Lewis will have managed to stop a takedown, or his defensive jiu-jitsu is better than I expect it to be. And so he'll land that big punch. I don't know. Everybody knows what this fight is. It's going to be the Artem fight, or it's going to be all edge of your seat. Is he going to land a punch? And we're all going to, like, lie to ourselves. But I think deep down, everybody's just like, oh, this isn't a real fight. Like, this is not going to. But we're all going to tune in because Buster Douglas did it.
Cormier is really, really good. Like, we don't give him enough credit for whatever reason. He's small. He's not jacked or whatever.
He's fat. He sounds stupid on commentary.
Right, but he's really freaking good. Like, I just remember what he did to, like, Dan Henderson. Like, just throwing him around. And granted, Derek Lewis is a lot bigger guy than Dan Henderson. But even so, it's just like, Daniel Cormier is really – he beat Stipe. Like, he knocked Stipe out. He's really good.
Anthony Johnson. In his prime, mega huge, giant, jacked up black guy that hits real hard. He's faced this guy before. The only thing he's ever lost, the only person he ever – think about it, Cormier hasn't even ever really had trouble with very many fighters except for Jones.
If they did Rumble versus Lewis, I'd probably pick Rumble in that fight.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? I just think he's quicker. Lewis isn't fast. There's not much to his fighting style. He just punches. He doesn't kick. He doesn't have any wrestling. There's no ground game. It's just punching.
He's just a huge dude.
Where does he beat Cormier?
He's just big guy that dares you to come close enough to him for him to try to punch you.
Well, it's weird, too, because he's not even really that big. He's like 6'3", which granted is big, but for a heavyweight, he's just kind of heavy.
Yeah, but he's got a...
You know what I mean?
But he's a real heavyweight. You know, like Stipe, he's a real heavyweight. But again, Stipe's better in every way, and Cormier whooped him in a round. And that, granted, like, I don't expect him to knock out Lewis in the first round with a punch, but he could.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Derek Lewis. Every fight he's ever had is the same fight. You're just waiting for him to land a punch. And he, to his credit, he
usually does.
And he has a mental ability, and there's a skill to that, to knock out a giant, tall, lanky Russian guy with 30 seconds left to go in a fight he was getting his ass kicked in. Like, there is something to believing in that power and knowing how to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also the skill that Butterbean had. And I'm not thinking that that's a great recipe for a successful career against a guy who may arguably be the greatest light heavyweight and heavyweight of all time.
Well, it's funny, too, because you can argue anything, obviously, but you could say Cormier is coming in on short notice. He's not going to be in good shape. He's got the hurt hand. He's not going to be able to punch with that hand or whatever, or he'll damage it more in the fight. And maybe he's older now. He's going to be 40 in a couple months, and maybe he's slowing down. There's been no signs of that really yet, but it could be. The other thing that's weird is Cormier is going to be the smallest guy Lewis has ever fought.
I would hope so. I mean, he probably won't be weight-wise because Cormier is just going to balloon up. Like, maybe...
I know. That'll be interesting to see what he weighs. I mean, but as far as height goes...
Oh, yeah.
Like, Lewis is going to be punching down to be making contact with Cormier. It's just, like, what's Cormier? Like, 5'10", maybe?
He's a small little dude. I think he looks smaller also because of the... how would you say this? Because he's fat. The fatness makes him look fatter.
DC is 5'11".
Yeah, you know that's a lie. I bet anything if you talk to DC, he'd be like, yeah, it's more like a 5'9 and a half, 5'10". Like, I pull that bullshit too, where I'm like, yeah, I'm 5'10". I'm 5'9 and a half. But I say 5'10", because maybe I'm 5'10 and a half. I can't remember what
it is. I like that you round up to 5'9 and a half and just sit there to say 5'9".
Well, I'd rather say I want to tell you why I claim 5'10", because I'm 5'9 and a half. I'm not 5'9". Claiming an extra inch. Ladies notice if you lie about an inch. So I don't do that.
Fair. Derek Lewis has gotten some sort of sponsorship from Popeye's Chicken.
Is that real?
That is real.
That wasn't one location.
Well, there's one location that on Sunday after the fight, if DC wins, somewhere in Texas, you get to eat for free from 2 to 4. Anybody who comes in can eat for free from 2 to 4. And that same location says Derek Lewis gets to eat there for life for free.
Derek Lewis will move to Texas to get Popeye's chicken for life.
He lives in Texas. It's near where he lives.
I mean, move to that part. Oh, it's near where he lives. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I keep thinking he's in Louisiana.
He grew up there. That's where he got arrested and went to jail, I believe.
Derek Lewis went to jail?
Yeah, he was in jail for like 3 years for some sort of assault and battery, I think.
This changes. I didn't know he was a bad person.
He didn't even start training MMA until like he was in his mid-20s.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know he was a bad person. Oh, shit.
He's redeemed himself. Maybe. People make mistakes.
He's got to win the title to redeem himself. Otherwise, he goes back to jail. Ooh, that's a good way to do things.
It's like Big Boss Man versus Nails.
Could you have a more racist match than loser goes to jail and winner gets fried chicken for life?
There is something slightly racist about it, but
I think we're post-racial on this one, actually. I think it's a good thing that we're all comfortable. And I know I'm interrupting you and not letting you talk. I'm being an asshole. Fine.
No,
I know you're also used to that and you accept it and that's how things normally go. Yeah, I get it. I know what your little insult's going to be. I talk too much. Point is, we all accept that the two black men want to fight over fried chicken. And everybody goes, you know what? We as a country have acknowledged that black people do like fried chicken. And all the blacks have all said, you know what? We do like it. You got us. Murder, She Wrote's on.
I was thinking about that today, actually, and I came to the conclusion that it's more just based on where you live than anything else, and like what food is abundant where you live. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, Asian people eat rice. That's just because it grows in Asia readily, and they've got those paddies and everything, and the way the agriculture is set up, it grows well there. Just like whatever, regionally in the South, fried chicken and okra and gumbo and all this stuff is popular. But it's popular with white people and black people in the South, as opposed to something in New England like, I don't know, clam chowder or something. It's more just based on what is available and around here. Like, black people up here probably don't regularly eat okra because we can't grow that up here. You know what I mean? It's more regional than ethnic.
Is okra, is that part of collard greens?
No, that's a different vegetable. They're two separate. But that's another one. Collard greens is popular down south, but I'm sure white people down south eat collard greens too. Oh, you know what I mean? Think people, it has nothing to do with race. It's just what's available.
It's funny because I think in some respects, because we're both northerners, our type of people really are more, I don't say we're more racist than the whites in the south, because that's not accurate. However, there is some disconnect where, like, what you're saying is true. We see it and you go, oh, you're saying all black people like fried chicken. It's like, no, no, no. All Southern people like fried chicken. It just happened that all black people lived in the South. Like, that's just
right.
All black people in America are Southerners. Like, in the same way that I'm, they are, though, ethnically, like, their ethnic origin, their origin story, mm-hmm. if you will, starts in the American South, because we stole their history. They don't know, most of them don't even know where they're from in Africa, because, you know, right. I don't know if there were countries in Africa at that time, to be honest. If there were, the British probably drew them or something. And so we just stole these people from their home. They don't know where they're from. They could be Angolan or East Timor. I don't know if that's in Africa. It sounds like it might actually, East Timor may be part of Angola, now that I think about it. So my point is that that's their culture is
what a show
is. I know is white trash culture is, because, you know, that's all black people are. Like, what people see is a negative stereotype from black people. It's just white trash. Thomas Sowell wrote about this in his book, White Liberals, Black Rednecks, about how the influence within the black culture really comes from the dumb white trash Scots-Irish hillbilly culture. That so what we see as negatives within the black culture is just them. It's just slave mentality that's adopted their local white trash. Really, the South was like five white guys in suits and a bunch of poor whites and poor blacks. And then the people in the North, like, you guys are treating those blacks unfairly. And we were, because we're racist. But nobody's driver's like, hey, and the whites too. The whites are like, what about us? We need a new water fountain. But they didn't get their new water fountain. And now the blacks have all the good facilities in the South. And that's why the whites resent them and vote Republican. This has been your alternative take on history by Mike Hoffman here at MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com. Aren't you glad you're listening?
Who are you picking in the main event?
Derek Lewis.
In the co-main, we have Chris Weidman versus Ronaldo Jacare Sosa.
Yeah, Chris Weidman probably should win because he's not on short notice and he can pretty much do everything Jacare can do, but he can also do other things.
Jacare's not short notice either. He was already scheduled for this card.
Well, why don't you shut the fuck up and stop ruining my points, all right?
Prior to that, we'll have David Branch versus Jared Cannonier.
Wow.
Carl Roberson versus Jack Marshman.
Madison Square Garden, baby.
And in the opener of the main card, Derek Brunson versus Israel Adesanya.
Sure.
If Adesanya wins this, it'll say something. I mean, Brunson's a real middleweight, top 10 guy.
How fucking angry is Bellator that they didn't sign Adesanya?
Yeah, they seem right up. He seems right up there.
Yeah, he's just their perfect mascot.
They already have MVP. That's probably enough.
I'm thinking because his name is Israel.
Heard. I thought you meant because he was a kickboxer with no.
No, because he's a Jew. I don't even know if he's a Jew. Actually, probably not.
He's from New Zealand, I think, or something.
Who names their kid Israel?
Israel Mobolahi Adesanya, born July 22nd, 1989, is a Nigerian New Zealander, mixed martial artist, and former kickboxer. He's ranked number 6 as a middleweight kickboxer.
Oh, I was going to say, the UFC? Really? Jeez. That Jew power is real.
Background. He was born in Lagos, Nigeria. He trained Taekwondo for a brief time, but was removed by his mother after breaking his arm. In 2001, he moved to Whanganui, New Zealand, and at age 18, after being inspired by the Muay Thai film Ong Bak, started training kickboxing. What? Adesanya amassed an amateur record of 32-0 prior to moving and fighting in China.
Oh, sure. I'm gonna retract that. I think he's going to be Christian. My guess is he's a Christian because he's either Christian or Muslim.
I'm going with agnostic.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, he's been in the West long enough. Well, I don't know. Immigrants tend to like their Jesus. I just can't picture a Muslim naming his kid Israel. It just seems like it'd be a real, like, be like a Jewish guy named I can think of it. Mosul.
Mosul's a place in Germany.
It's also a place in Iraq, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Like you fucking me for a second. I'm like, no, it's not. Mosul. That's a we've killed people in Mosul.
Mosul is also known for its Riesling, the Mosul River in Germany.
Huh.
In the prelims on Fox Sports 1, we've got Jason Knight versus Jordan Rinaldi.
Winner gets to go on Joe Rogan's Buddies podcast?
Maybe. And then we've got Sajara Eubanks.
Jason Knight never got his appearance on Rogan, did he?
He has not. Good old Hick Diaz.
He begged to be on the fucking podcast. And Rogan's like, oh, yeah, sure, buddy. Oh, never going to happen.
He'll have to try again. Well, he does that MMA one. He could have Jason Knight on that.
He still hasn't had him on.
Hick Diaz. Come on.
I bet Rogan's got to be like, I can't fucking do an hour with you.
Rogan will do an hour with anybody. He doesn't care.
And that's what I'm saying. That's how bad Hick Diaz is.
I'm saying, I think he would do it. If Hick Diaz wins this fight on the main event on Fox Sports 1 and asks again, I bet you he will get on.
I bet he won't.
All right. You didn't think the trade was really going to happen.
No,
either.
I did. I just didn't. I was going with a more technical and nuanced look at things. Us lawyers can't help but focus on the details.
Now, in the fight everyone's been looking forward to in women's flyweight, Sajara Eubanks managed to stay on this card. She's going to fight Foxy Roxy Modafferi again, who she's already defeated once. And Eubanks has threatened to lay into Joe Rogan after she wins this fight in her post-fight interview because Rogan made fun of her and didn't know who she was when she was announced for the main event against Valentina Shevchenko.
Fucking imagine if this chick knew who we were. If she's mad at Rogan, I can't imagine Rogan's head anywhere nearly as inflammatory as I. I'll say it right now. No one knows who you are. You should be grateful that you're allowed to fight anywhere. 50 years ago, you'd have been making bacon, bitch. Maybe 70 years ago. Actually, with a name like Sajaya Eubanks, I think she's black, 70 years ago, you would not have been making bacon because you would have been too poor and prohibited from owning bacon because I'm sure they had some sort of law in the South. Again, this has been the most racist fucking show ever.
Just on your part.
Yeah, well, I didn't say fine. On your part. I know. We all know I'm the racist here.
Julio Arce versus Shaman Morace. And Ben Saunders versus Leeming Good opens the prelims on Fox Sports 1.
It's
Killa B.
It's always weird when, and this happens a lot more, I've noticed as I get older, that the lower ends of cards have the fighters that I'm like, oh, I know that person. I know that person. I know that person. Oh, there they are. As opposed to these nobodies on the main card. Also, Eubanks and Modafari should be on the pay-per-view. I honestly believe, like, if you motherfuckers were going to schedule Eubanks to be the main event of the pay-per-view, she should at least get to fight on the undercard of it.
Yeah. You could probably pull Carl Roberson versus Jack Marshman.
Exactly. I mean, do we really need a Jack Marshman fight? And man,
the main card's really weird. It's four middleweight fights and one heavyweight.
I feel like they were really planning for a middleweight title fight, huh?
Feels that way. We've also got on the Fight Pass prelims, Matt Frivola versus Lando Vannata.
Ooh, Lando.
Shane Burgos versus Kurt Hollibaugh.
I remember Shane Burgos had like a, this guy might be a thing. Yeah. Oops.
Brian Kelleher versus Montel Jackson, not to be confused with Montel Jordan. And Adam Wizarek versus Marcos Rogério de Lima opens the card at heavyweight.
Montel is a very good black name.
How like, awesome if, like, DC misses weight and tries to use the towel and they have to pull DC because he can't make 265 and they just move, like, Adam Wizarek to the main event against Derek Lewis.
How amazing would it be if
for an interim heavyweight title?
No. Dana has to follow precedent. The last time a champion didn't make weight, they stripped her of the title. Remember? So
DC has no belt.
Exactly. Can you imagine how incredible it would be if he never loses any of his belts and that doesn't have them? Oh my gosh, that'd be incredible. Especially if like Jones comes and then wins the heavyweight title.
Mm.
Just take everything from Cormier.
That'd be good.
That'd be so awesome if 2019 was the year that Jones won all the titles just to prove it to Cormier that he'll never be number one all time.
Do you have a buy rate prediction for this show that you can later claim you didn't make?
First of all, I don't appreciate the insinuation as to the defect of my character. And I will save 300,000 buys.
Oh, come on.
Didn't Cormier have like about that with
Stipe?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Like it wasn't like that. Like it was under 500,000, I think. Yeah. And as much as I wanted to be a million buys, I just think that in this racist climate of ours, America won't support the black man like that.
Fair
enough.
You
imagine if Derek Lewis did a million buys? I mean, holy fuck, that would show that America is really, really fascinated with the size of black men's crotches.
He claims it turns out his balls weren't really hot after the fight. We got clarification on it this week. He actually wanted to throw his shorts into the crowd after the fight.
So he took his shorts off thinking, I'm going to throw these in the crowd. This will be a goodwill gesture that will endear me to the fans. Yet when asked about his reasoning for doing this great goodwill gesture, instead of telling everybody, hey, I'm a good guy who wanted to celebrate with the fans, give back to the community, he instead said, my balls was hot.
He's smart. He's good on the fly.
Hey, that shit got him more attention. He got a world title fight because of his big black balls. How awesome is that? Things are turned around for the black man. And as a black man, I can't be happier.
Do we have some time for stuff, or do we have to wrap it up?
Oh, I got all fucking day.
Oh, I thought you had to go to work or something.
No, I took today off.
Oh, because of your mom's hip?
Yeah.
Do you guys listen to Hips Don't Lie by Shakira?
Fucking A, man. That's all I've been playing. I've been playing on repeat, just not stop.
I like the part where Wyclef comes in.
That's the everybody knows the best part of all songs is when Wyclef Jean shows up. And that used to happen a lot in like the late 90s. Like Wyclef Jean would just show up and be like, hey, Wyclef's in this song.
Hip-hop fans are fickle.
It's like DJ Khaled.
You have a short window. Like you don't hear much about like
Lil Wayne.
Bone Thugs and Harmony anymore.
Yeah, and yet Coolio, remarkable staying power.
Yeah, he's had a lot of hits in the last 20 years. Still on, for sure.
I'm still aware that he's still alive. Well, given that, he's still alive. That's a pretty big win for Coolio. He started gangster rap, and he didn't get...
Speaking of hot shorts and things in your underwear, a man who allegedly has been dumping bags of dirty diapers at intersections throughout Franklin Township, New Jersey, for the past year has been caught. William Friedman, 68, was spotted making his latest drop around 3:15 a.m. Sunday, police said. He was processed and issued multiple township ordinances. Police could count on Friedman to be a regular. He would do it at least three times a week at different intersections. He would do it a couple of months in one area and then move to a different intersection. We could never get a time down. But Officer Garrett Moretti thought he recently had detected somewhat of a pattern, so he decided to patrol the area around Routes 47 and 40 early Sunday. That's when he saw the driver of a box truck dump a load of soiled diapers in the middle of the roadway.
I'm thinking that the police in that department don't have a lot to do. If you're conducting a sting operation to find the guy with the dirty diapers, probably not a lot of murder one happening in your town. Imagine, though, if you did get killed or if, like, you called 911 because your house is on fire and they took a little longer to get there and you found out later it's because they're tracking down the guy leaving diapers filled with shit on street corners. Like, what the fuck? We've gone from, what is with people and their poop? I bet this guy knows that chick that used to jog and take shits in Denver.
She was good. I don't know if she ever got caught. I'm going to have to do a follow-up on that. Following a traffic stop, Friedman was taken to police headquarters where he was interviewed about the diapers. He admitted to dropping these bags multiple times at multiple different intersections throughout the past 10 months.
When asked why, he just said, shit happens.
He's claiming the diapers were his grandson's. He said
that's
almost
right
became
up your alley. That's a total dad joke.
Yeah, well, it was a little basic.
All right, Mr. Pun. You know that he's Brian's name on the web on halfguarded.com, because he doesn't want his given name out there because, you know, he's smart, is the Pun Master General.
I've seen that, yeah. Yes.
His name is Brian Coughlin, Coughlin, born in Elmhurst, Illinois. Brian Coughlin is the Pun Master General, and he makes all the horrible evil you see. Somebody dox him.
Do you want to share his social?
I don't know what it is.
All right. How about it? Do you know any of his PIN numbers?
No. I do know some of his passwords. I know his Netflix password, but I'm not giving that out.
God forbid.
He might take it away from me.
This man is claiming the diapers were his grandson's. He said it almost became a game because sometimes he saw the officer sitting in an area and would go somewhere else. The motive in the case seems to be nothing else than this gentleman thinking this was funny, which it's not.
Yes, it is. I think we have a different definition of funny there, police officer.
A June 24th motorcycle accident in the area is blamed on a slippery bag of diapers in the roadway. Jeez. The motorcycle was totaled and the driver had minor injuries, according to police. Friedman is charged with interference with transportation in that case, which might allow the motorcyclist to be reimbursed. He faces fines up to $1,000 in connection with 9 township ordinances. Can you imagine driving your motorcycle? You're going down the road and all of a sudden you run over a bag of shitty diapers and skid and fall off the motorcycle and your motorcycle's totaled.
On the other hand, if you're driving a motorcycle, you're probably an asshole. So I'm not really, that's kind of,
it's still a shitty day.
Oh, so when you make the fucking joke, fine. But when I make it, you see, dog, you see what I have to work with here? This is some bullshit. Baby shit.
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it.
Mike Rowe does it.
Moving along, a man was arrested for trying to steal
Magna Carta.
I bet
that's one of those things. By the way, that's one of those things where when you're standing before the judge, you know you can't say anything because all you really want to say is, "Am I really in trouble for this? Can I just say, okay, I won't do this again?" Like, do we actually have to like go through the whole rigmarole, like where we pretend that I intended for somebody's motorcycle to get caught up in my shit escapades. We all knew what this was. Just a little boys will be boys fun here. That's Brett Kavanaugh. He did this all the time. Brett Kavanaugh seems like a kind of, this is like Ding Dong Ditch with baby diapers.
I doubt Brett Kavanaugh dealt with baby diapers much.
I bet Brett Kavanaugh.
I feel like rich people don't have to deal with dirty diapers.
No, but Brett Kavanaugh is absolutely the type of person that would leave shit on someone's yard or doorstep in their gym bag.
I could see him like lighting a bag of shit and throwing it on a doorstep, but he's not changing the kids' diapers and
no,
he's just not doing that.
No, well, he might do it once.
I bet you he's never changed a diaper in his life.
I don't know. He does seem like he's actively involved in his kid's life, and he's a pervert, so maybe he'd be into that.
what do you know about the Magna Carta?
Well, I know that you mean the Constitution is rough draft.
What a show! What a show this is.
The rough draft of the Constitution, as I like to call it.
A man suspected of trying to steal a Magna Carta from its display case at Salisbury Cathedral has been arrested after he was wrestled to the ground by cathedral employees.
Priests.
Who then raped him.
Cathedral employees. Like churches have employees. Priests and nuns. That's who run churches. Maybe the organist, like, fucking, like, 80-year-old Betty, just like, not the Magna Carta. Ah. Also, why is the Magna Carta in church? But,
Wiltshire police say cathedral alarm sounded Thursday afternoon in the southwestern English city when a person armed with a hammer tried to smash the glass box surrounding the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta is considered the founding document of English law and civil liberties, a document that influenced the shapers of the U.S. Constitution.
This sounds like he just, this sounds like the plot of the next Ocean's 12 movie or whatever. Just showed up with a hammer. Oh, this will do it. I always like criminals that just like don't even pretend like they're smart. It's like, I just want it. I have a hammer, so I'm going to break the glass. And you know what? That tends to work.
Yeah, fuck it. Go for it.
That happens all the time in Chicago. The smash and grab. These people will steal a car. They drive the car into the through the window of like a high-end boutique, and they steal a bunch of purses, and then they run away. This happens on like Michigan Avenue in Chicago way more often than you would think.
The document granted by King John in 1215 established the principle that the king was subject to the law rather than above it. It also stipulated that no free man shall be seized or imprisoned except by the lawful judgment of his equals or by law of the land.
I mean, what was that, 1200, something like that?
1215.
Fuck, I'm good.
I said it.
I mean, I didn't really. Oh, did you? Okay, maybe I just. Okay, maybe I don't listen to them. Point is that I'm just going to stop while I'm behind.
Okay. So there you go. Yeah, the most probably important historical document is safe and sound.
Okay,
still.
I would not call it the most historical document. I think the Bible is a little more important.
But that's just like a fictional story.
So is the Magna Carta.
No, I think that was real and it was law, wasn't it?
Do you see equality of the law yet? Can a black man be guaranteed to be treated the same way as a white man? I don't think so. Therefore, it's fiction.
There's no guarantees in life.
The Bible doesn't make any guarantee. Actually, it might. Actually, the Bible may make. Actually, that's right. The Bible makes a lot of guarantees. All right. I can see the point and you are correct.
Human urine has been used to create environmentally friendly bricks by university students in South Africa. They combine urine with sand and bacteria in a process that allows the bricks to solidify at room temperature. It's essentially the same way that coral is made in the ocean, Dylan Randall, the supervisor at University of Cape Town, told the BBC. Normal bricks need to be baked in high temperature kilns that produce large amounts of carbon dioxide. These do not.
Oh yeah, this is way fucking better. I am so happy that my piss bricks don't have as much carbon dioxide emission. Is this really? These people didn't invent bricks. They just peed on brick. Like all the other stuff in there, the sand and mortar or whatever, that's making the brick. You just pissed on some bricks and said, I made a brick out of pee. No, you didn't. It's like if I pee on a car, I didn't make a car out of pee. There may be more to this than that, but
The engineering students at the University of Cape Town have been harvesting urine from men's toilets.
Seriously? You had to harvest? First of all, does anybody in South Africa flush their toilet? Also, you couldn't get... You guys just couldn't pee in a jar yourself? You had to go to the men's and be like, hey, that guy went in there. Stand outside of it, like, as the guy's in there taking a leak. Don't flush. Could you just not flush? Can I watch?
The bricks take between 4 and 6 days to grow, depending on the strength needed. After first making a solid fertilizer, the leftover liquid is then used in a biological process to grow what the university calls biobricks. The process is called microbial carbonate precipitation. The bacteria produces an enzyme that breaks down in the urine, forming calcium carbonate, which then binds the sand into rock-hard gray bricks.
I understand that there are some cognitive limitations for dogs, but imagine explaining to your dog that you turned your pee into a house.
On average, a person typically produces 200 milliliters and 300 milliliters of urine per urination. A biobrick needs between 25 liters and 30 liters to grow.
So
to make one urine brick, you need to go to the loo
10 times.
About 100 times.
100? Oh, yeah.
For one brick.
So you're saying there's a chance that it could work?
Well, if you take, like, say you saved every Indian's urine.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1.4 billion pisses, you know. At least probably you would think 4 or 5 times a day. And you're normally, they're just pissing in the street or whatever anyway.
True.
Save all that urine and you can build fucking cities, castles, no problem.
And since it's India and it already smells like urine, no one will notice.
It's an idea.
It's the worst.
This could be the future.
This is the worst show we've ever done from like a wrongness standpoint. Ironically enough, yeah, because I've been really...
Last week was pretty bad also.
I felt really bad about that one, too. My only saving grace was the last thing I ever said on the show, so maybe nobody listened to it. I'm sure nobody listened to it. And I'm sober as fuck this week.
That one guy might have.
Yeah. Not anymore. He's gone.
He's
probably black. He's like, really? I'm like, I didn't mean it that way. I feel bad about it a week later. When have I ever felt bad about a word I've said?
Regular bricks are kiln-fired at temperatures around 1,400 degrees Celsius, but Dr. Randall admits their process is much smellier. Say you had a pet and it peed in the corner and you have that strong smell. That's ammonia being released. This process produces ammonia as a byproduct.
They're really selling you on this idea, aren't they? Your house will smell like that time your dog pissed in the corner. What?
But after about 48 hours, the bricks completely lose the ammonia smell. They do not have any health risks either. The process we use in stage one kills all harmful pathogens and bacteria because we operate at an extremely high pH level that has been shown to kill pretty much everything.
Why can they not use water or something?
I think this is just a... eco-friendly thing. You're not pissing in the toilet. You're saving the piss and reusing it.
Like, if we've gotten to the point where the environmentalists make us feel bad for our natural bodily functions, come on. Like, I can accept, even though I don't support it, I can get behind somebody being like, we got to get rid of all the cars. You know, all this pollution, all this smoke is not good for the environment. I'd be like, fine. I can ride a horse or whatever I ride, like a mini horse, a pony or whatever they are. But I got to pee, man. Like, I don't have to feel bad about peeing. I don't have a choice in it. It's going to happen.
Bellator executive 50 Cent is feuding with Ja Rule still.
I like that. That's his new official title. I wish I could edit Wikipedia. That would just be the first thing. Bellator executive 50 Cent.
They have a bitter feud, which has gone on for some 20 years. Ja Rule is hitting back at 50 Cent for trolling him by buying 200 tickets to one of his concerts, only to leave the seats empty. 50 Cent got onto Ja Rule's Instagram account to taunt him over the weekend, announcing he had bought 200 front row tickets. That's a big front row to an upcoming show. in Texas next month. He claimed to have taken advantage of a Groupon offer that made the tickets $15 each, meaning he spent $3,000 on the prank.
Okay, that's pretty good then. If he only spent like $3,000 on the prank, I'm honestly a little disappointed that he didn't spend $6 or even $10 or so. Like, take some of that Bellator money you're getting and, you know, really embarrass him.
Okay, here's the thing. Ja Rule, 20, like we said, hip-hop is a fickle business. You don't have a long career. Like, 50 Cent is bankrupt and working for Bellator now, and he was the biggest rapper in the world, you know, 20 years ago, sells 10 million records, and now is considered a wash-up has-been. Then you got Ja Rule, who's never even reached 50 Cent's level, selling front row tickets to a show on Groupon for $15 a piece. I mean, like, you can't go to WWE in the rafters for $15. Like, what the hell?
I feel like if you're 50 Cent, you didn't even need to buy all the tickets to embarrass him. All you would have had to do is tweet out to everybody, hey, Ja Rule's available on Groupon. By the way, Ja Rule, your whole career, I don't know really how successful it was, but I'm sure it was absolutely murdered dead when Dave Chappelle pointed out, like, after a tragedy, nobody asked what the fuck Ja Rule thinks about something. Whenever I hear Ja Rule, I just picture Dave Chappelle saying, hey, 9/11 happened. Now we turn to Ja Rule.
50 Cent even photoshopped himself onto a group of empty seats at an event and edited together footage depicting Ja Rule performing to an empty room of seats as well.
Why this show? Like, I understand having a feud with a guy and hating him. Actually, I don't, because I try to let things go. Let's let that slide. But, like, all of a sudden, 50 Cent's just like, you know what? Fuck Ja. He's got a show in Galveston. I'm going to buy the front row tickets.
I'm not sure, but Ja Rule fired back on Instagram with two posts. One, a mock-up of 50 Cent in drag. The other, a photo of him with a person in drag and his G-Unit associate, Young Buck. Second features sex toys photoshopped into it.
So clearly the rap community has embraced this progressive era that we're in.
50 Cent is labeled an old ho-ass nigga in one of Ja Rule's posts.
I want to end the show right now. This is the 2 weeks in a row. The last thing either one of us said is the N-word.
Oh, I'm just quoting.
I was quoting.
Not actually using
my
it.
My dad.
And you had an ER.
I'm aware it was a little harder than I was in character. All right.
Okay. So that's basically...
so he just went with a straight homophobic slam, just straight
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
You're gay. Yeah. Like, I bought all the tickets. Essentially. You're not popular. Oh yeah. Well, you're gay and you like butt stuff.
Pretty much.
These men are paid for their ability to think. That's all speech. That's all rap is. It's just a variation of thinking and expressing your thoughts.
Poetry.
It's poetry. This is how I mentioned this. What William Blake would do. Hey, Percival Shelley, fuck you, faggot. Like, oh, thou dost slave me with thy insult. I am a burdensome bundle of sticks. I forgot that back then they probably didn't use the F word to in that way.
It appears that the Crown Jewel pay-per-view WWE show is still happening.
Oh, yeah.
But two
Speaking of people that use the N-word.
Two wrestlers are refusing to attend. One is John Cena, and the other is Daniel Bryan. So neither of them are going to make the trip to Saudi Arabia, probably due to their murderous, despotic regime.
I was going to say, I mean, I don't really know what their problem is here. John Cena is an interesting one. You know, like, I feel like him and Daniel Bryan, they must be really... Oh, wait a second. He's not with Nikki Bella anymore, is he? So I don't know why he's pretending to be woke. I assume it was always Daniel Bryan.
I think he has concerns about his, like, movie career.
Huh?
Like, he's kind of getting away from WWE. He's only, like, a part-timer, and he's, you know, been in some movies and stuff. I think that's the basic gist of it.
Maybe he just doesn't want to fly to fucking Saudi Arabia. Maybe there's like, it's simple
as... He already did. He fought Triple H on the last one.
Oh, yeah. So what's he concerned with now? Oh, yeah. Ooh, Saudi Arabia killed someone. Ooh, well, I'm not going to go there now. 6 months ago, they were a fucking model democracy that we were all hoping the Middle East would take their cues from. the fucking country that produced everybody that did 9/11. Boy, the fuck. We've just let that one slide, haven't we? They did 9/11, and everybody in America was like, yeah, but they gave us a lot of money. And we're like, eh.
If you were being executed for a crime, what would your last words be?
I've thought about what my last words would be. I want good last words.
Okay.
I don't know. It would depend on the crime. Definitely would depend on the crime. Depend on how I was. Like, if I had actually did it and I deserved to be executed, I would probably be a little more, sorry about my actions. Or maybe I'd be defiant. I'd probably be defiant. I'd probably say my last words are bigly. Do it bigly.
A South Dakota inmate who killed a correctional officer 7 years ago during a failed prison escape on the guard's 63rd birthday was put to death Monday evening, marking South Dakota's first execution since 2012. Rodney Burgett, 56, received a lethal injection of an undisclosed drug for the 2011 slaying of Ronald R.J. Johnson, who was beaten with a pipe and had his head covered in plastic wrap.
Oh, well, that's vicious.
Burgett's execution was the state's fourth since it reinstituted the death penalty in 1979. It originally was to be carried out at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, but was delayed for hours while the U.S. Supreme Court weighed a last-minute legal bid to block it. In his last words about the wait, Burgett joked, "Sorry for the delay, I got caught in traffic."
Good for him. Also, I like South Dakota. You gotta like a state where they're like, yeah, it's been 6 years since we killed someone. Like, our first execution in 20, 30 years. South Dakota's like, since Obama was president. It's our first one of this president. Oh, sorry I made you guys late. Yeah, it's good.
After the administering of the drug started at 7:25 p.m., Burgett groaned and pushed out his chest. He drifted off and snored briefly before his eyes closed. He was pronounced dead at 7:37 p.m.
I mean, we are laughing because, sorry, I was late. Traffic. Ha, ha, ha. As he's being led to be executed because he beat a man to death with a pipe. Like, he's a fucking animal.
Right. The whole thing's weird because I don't like the death penalty. I don't think like the government should decide who gets murdered and who doesn't.
Well,
I mean, granted, like
that's what laws are.
I know. I mean, technically, in a democracy, you could just say the people decide how they vote and who's in office and everything. Like, I get it. Like, it's a democratic thing, but me personally, I don't support it. Just because I think they can fuck up, and I don't think we should decide who gets to live and who gets to die. It's essentially murder, just in a different way. But yeah,
pretty much
that's just me.
Pretty much is. It's I don't know. I feel like if we're gonna be doing state sponsored executions, I actually read this once. Scott, I think it's Williamson, one of the guys, the guy that got hired by the Atlantic, the conservative, and then they immediately fired him because he turned out that he does like abortion, and he said, if abortion's illegal, yes, women should go to jail for having an abortion, and the doctors should face a death penalty, and we should hang them. And everybody's like, oh, this is crazy. And his point was actually kind of valid, which is, if we're going to do the death penalty, we should make it visceral. Like, we should be aware of what we're doing. We should stop sanitizing it. If we're going to kill people, none of this bullshit, oh, we put a little needle in your arm and you went to sleep. No, hang a dude, shoot him. It's a violent act. We're murdering someone, if you will. Admit what you're doing. Stop covering it up. Stop pretending. Stop making it palatable. It shouldn't be easy and like on your soul to kill a man. It shouldn't be pushing a button. You just don't look him in the eyes and whisper to him, you deserve this.
Should it be? Do you think it should be painless?
Yes.
Like it should. Okay.
I don't think there's any reason to torture him. Oh, first of all, the Constitution says it. Blah, blah, blah. I don't think there's any reason to torture someone. I mean, I think there should be a quick death. I don't think it needs to be quote unquote pain free. Like, shooting a guy to me is fine. Like, that's painless, if you will. Like, you got to shoot him. You can't shoot him in the leg.
Work your way up the body.
God, that'd be amazing, though. Imagine if juries could decide what kind of punishment you're going to get. Like, he will be shot in the leg and left in the pit. If he survives 3 days, he can be free.
He'll be shot in the leg, then thrown in a shark tank.
Well, now you're just being ridiculous. I mean,
well, it's weird too how that sort of thing has changed over the years, at least in America. I mean, there's still public executions in the Middle East, I guess, but
yeah.
Like public executions were like common, like hangings, like the gallows and all that stuff. Like it's funny that we gradually moved away from that. Cause like even back in like Roman times, like the shit with the lions, feeding the Christians to the lions and all that crap. It's like people would go and watch that. And it's weird that like nowadays, nobody's going to go watch an execution.
Well, we are going to watch UFC 230 on Saturday.
Fair, but...
And let's face it, we're all watching MMA secretly hoping somebody dies. Like, every time...
I don't think anybody... Like,
we would be...
You know, those faces of death and all that shit? Like, I've never watched that. I have no interest in seeing somebody die. Like, it's just...
No, it's awful.
Not for me. I mean, I know that's like a niche thing out there, but... it's just interesting how that's changed. And like we were talking about earlier, the stuff in the Middle East, they're a few hundred years behind or whatever. It still goes on there. And we like look down on it, but it was like a couple hundred years ago, that shit was happening in this country too.
Fuck.
They were burning witches. People would go and watch people thrown on fires and burn alive.
Fucking this in the last century, they just did lynchings. Like they would just, my mom always talked about, she read a book, I think it was a fiction book, but I'm sure it was based on reality, about how like she was struck by the description, because it was a description of the local school children, everybody putting their Sunday best to go out to a picnic and all this, and as all the people were having a picnic, they were hanging a black guy. It was just like, that's what you did in the South at times. Now, maybe that's a little exaggerated, but it's not that exaggerated. Like, there are people alive today who I don't know if they participated in such a lynching, but they definitely were like the children of people that did it, or they had friends or relatives. Like my 97-year-old grandmother, she's got to have known someone, if not herself, that's something horrifically racial at one point. Like that's just how it was, man. You got to forgive and you got to forget, right? People, am I getting this wrong? We shouldn't forget. Oh, okay.
It's funny too, because I know we've talked about it in the past, but
lynchings,
stuff like people look back on things that happen now and be like, holy shit, why'd they do that? And I always talk about like football and MMA, any like high impact sports. Like once all the CTE stuff comes up, it's like people are gonna be like, what were those people thinking? Like they knew about it and they still did it. Like smoking, like forever people smoked and didn't really get it. And now it's like, well, everybody knows you're fucking yourself up if you do that. And it's just funny because in 100 years, it'll be something else. We're looking back on public executions like, I can't believe they would do that and go and watch it. And granted, it's all levels to it, but I'm sure there's something going on now that we don't even really think about.
Mm-hmm.
And people be like, I can't believe they lived with dogs in their houses.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I can't believe you still, to be honest. That's a testament to the white man's ability just to live with a bullshit situation. White men are known for putting up with stuff. Yeah, no, but you're absolutely right. It's kind of one of those things that you see a lot, and it's why it's not unfair necessarily, but we have to be careful when we too harshly judge historical figures by living according to the norms of the time. Like slavery. Slavery was way more common than people really realized. Like we see it as like this racial thing, but really historically slavery had nothing to do with race. Like you just enslaved people. This is what you did. It was a way to get fucking labor. And nowadays we, I guess, have decided that that's wrong somehow. I mean, I think we should focus on that it was wrong to have slaves based on your race. The concept of slavery itself could have many benefits for a corporation looking for cheap labor. And I think we should consider bringing it back.
I've read stuff on like the slave trade, and part of the reason it was from Africa was because it was easier to come from Europe, go to Africa, get slaves and bring them to the United States than say, I don't know, Aborigines from Australia
or Asia or something like
or,
that.
Or you're not going to bring them across the Pacific because everything was on the East Coast in the 1700s. There was no West Coast back then.
You know, the first person in American history, I think American history or common law, I'll say this, I think it's a common law history in the Americas, the first man to ever be legally recognized as an owner of a slave was a black man. Huh. It was a freed slave. And that, yeah, obviously they brought him over and we switched over, you know, who was in charge or whatever. But so technically, what I'm saying is it's the black man's fault that this happened.
Obviously, there's huge differences in cultures around the world now, and it's creating wars and issues and everything else. But it was really different back then because you had no idea what went on another continent. Like now we know, like the whole world's been explored. We know what Australia and South America and all these places were like. But like 1500s, 1600s, when they're discovering all these new places, it's like literally landing on a different planet.
I was just listening to an old clip of Bill Burr on Opie and Anthony, I think. And
normal.
I listened to see, people put these YouTube things up with these compilations of comedians. I put one on when I'm taking a shower. So, and he was talking about how when he grew up,
I'm impressed that you shower.
A lot of people are. I haven't figured out the soap part yet. Anyways, he was talking about how as a kid from Boston, he didn't know what New York was like. He saw pictures of it sometimes a little bit here and there on TV, but he had no clue what New York was like. And that was growing up like in the 70s or whatever. We take for granted almost like how much we're exposed to the world now because of the internet. But our parents grew up, they didn't have a fucking clue. They didn't know what the next state was like. Like if you're in the 50s, going to California was like, ooh, that's way out there. If you go to California, you're never going to come back. This show is really good with geography and understanding
history.
It's a good thing that only one of us has a degree in history. Isn't that your degree? Yeah.
History, yeah. It's really useful in the real world. Do you get trick-or-treaters at your
house? We had a couple yesterday. I got caught and had to give a couple of them candy. Yeah.
You got caught?
I tried to hide out and not give away the candy, but I was upstairs. And
okay. Like, do you shut your lights
off? No, honestly, I was just downstairs in the basement, and I didn't want to walk upstairs.
Interesting. You wouldn't stay like nearby, like on the floor where people would be coming to the door and knocking. You go down.
There's
to the
not.
Basement
there's not
instead.
That. Like if there was a kid like every 5 seconds, I would do that. But like they're every couple of minutes, mm-hmm. every 15, 20 minutes. I'm not gonna go out of my way. Oh. Like why should I have to inconvenience myself just to give somebody something for free?
Well, it seems more inconvenient to have to go up and down.
That's why
the stairs.
I just don't go up and down the stairs. I just don't get into the door. They just don't get any candy.
Would your mom usually hand out the candy?
Probably somebody would. I mean, like, I handed out candy. I gave out some candy. Just not – I let, like, two or three people knock on the door, and I just told the dog, be quiet, and he just slept.
Do you agree with Donald Trump Jr.'s theory that Halloween is socialist bullshit?
Did he really say that?
A couple of years ago, he said something like that. Like, he had a picture of his daughter.
He's probably mocking it.
He's mocking. Yeah, something to do about handouts or something.
It's not socialism because they're asking for it. They're not demanding it. Actually, it is socialism because there's a threat of violence if you don't do it. Also, it should be
you're gonna get
it should
tricked.
Be treat or trick.
Well, the reason I bring up Halloween, obviously, it was yesterday, but there were two girls at a middle school in Central Florida who were waiting in a bathroom, planning to overpower at least 15 smaller students, kill them with knives, and drink their blood.
Sounds like a really violent, like Looney Tunes plot. Like they're gonna stack up all the bodies, like as they walk through the door. We got one. 15 of them. Like, they had a number. Like, we need 15. What about a dozen? No, a dozen's not enough. We need 15.
The Bartow Middle School students were arrested Tuesday and charged with conspiracy to commit murder, possession of a weapon on school property, carrying a concealed weapon, and disruption of a school function. According to officials, the 11 and 12-year-old girls said they were Satan worshippers and were going to drink the blood and eat the flesh of the students they killed. The girls then planned to kill themselves, they said. The plan was foiled Tuesday after an automated call from the school notified one of the girls' parents that the daughter was missing from class. The district attorney has not indicated whether the girls will be tried as adults. CNN does not name minor suspects unless they are tried as adults. It's not clear if either of the girls has retained counsel.
Yeah, they called them up. They used their one phone call to call Lionel Hunt. Like, I get, like, first of all, they should not be tried as adults. They should not be tried as anything. They should not be going to jail. They shouldn't go to juvie. These girls need real help. When an 11-year-old girl brings a goblet to drink her classmate's blood from, the solution should not be, oh, we should put her in jail with a bunch of violent people. It should be, we should get her some mental health.
11's like what, sixth grade, fifth, sixth grade.
You tell me. Isn't your kid 11?
10.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. What grade is she in? Add one.
Okay. Fifth. Sixth grade. So fifth or sixth grade, like I said. The 11-year-old spent the weekend at the 12-year-old's home, and on Sunday, after a day of watching horror films, they devised a plot to kill several students at the middle school. The girls decided they would attend their first period classes, then meet in a bathroom where they would wait for smaller students and overpower them, according to a police report. They did not want to attack larger students, the report says. Using knives tucked under their clothes, the plan was to stab their victims and cut their throats. The preteens conducted internet searches on how to kill someone with a knife and what type of wound would cause their victims to bleed out the fastest. I mean,
when you have to Google how to kill someone with a knife, you're probably not mature enough to kill someone with a knife. Like, if you're a stabber, you should know what a knife... They don't know what knives do. They don't know how to use a knife to stab someone. That's how young these people are. Also, an 11 and 12-year-old girl plotted a satanic ritual to dismember and kill and drink the blood of their fellow elementary school children, students, and it was not the weirdest story to come out of Florida this week. That would be the gay bodybuilder stripping bomber. What a state. What a fucking state. I swear, man, the doctors are right. Too much exposure to sun is bad for your health.
Upon killing each victim, they intended to stack her or him in a bathroom stall and wait for the next small student to enter
the
bathroom.
What if somebody had to go to the bathroom? What if they knocked on the stall? What if they looked underneath?
After the students were dead, they would cut them up and eat parts of the dead flesh, adding that the girls aimed to kill between 15 and 25 students. The girls then planned to kill themselves by stabbing, and they hoped that by killing their fellow students, they would get to go to hell so they could be with Satan.
I like that their plan was to eat 15 kids. Imagine if they had gotten away with it. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would have been to the school officials if they had killed 15 fourth graders and ate them? And they had to get up to 15 or 20. They're gonna play it by ear with those last five before they kill themselves. Like, have you eaten enough? I don't know. Do you think that the Dark Lord is satisfied with 15 dead? No. He's gonna want five more. Get the second graders. They got a test today. They're not gonna be sad that they gotta skip it.
Yeah, this doesn't sound that well thought
out. It's almost as if 11-year-olds aren't very good at committing mass murder. Use a gun, dipshit. Haven't you seen school shootings? You had one in Florida.
They're probably too young. They might have missed it.
They just had one in February.
The assistant principal found the students in a bathroom after one of the girls' mothers called the school to say the automated call reporting her daughter's absence must be a mistake. They were taken to the principal's office where the girls revealed four knives, scissors, and a pizza cutter under their clothes.
Pizza cutter? Piece of fucking pizza cutter?
Must be that round.
What is that
going to
cut?
Like,
what is that
going to
cut? Cut off an ear with
it? I don't know. They probably forgot about human bone. Two of the knives had blades of at least 5 or 6 inches. The girls also had a goblet from which to drink blood, authorities said. Detectives searched the girls' homes and found a hand-drawn map that included the phrase, "Go to Killin' Bathroom," which marked the bathroom where they were found. One of the girls also had scrawled violent lyrics from Eminem and Florence and the Machine on a sheet of paper.
Oh, Florence and the Machine. Well-known Satanist music. Everybody knows that Satan's a big fan of Florence.
One sheet of notebook paper also included a short poem, "Trying Hard to Leave, Stuck in an Endless Abyss, Claw Away Out."
How
now.
The fuck does an 11-year-old know the word abyss?
Maybe she's a fan of TNA.
Or Michael Crichton.
Today is health lessons, thank Satan, we're doing this in a bit, one note read.
Oh.
A search of the girls' cell phones found Snapchat messages regarding the plot, according to police. The messages included, "We shouldn't have met each other, LOL, now death is near."
LOL.
And I was thinking like stabbing ourselves in the necks.
I feel like if you're a kind of kid that comes from a household where you could have access to a goblet, you're probably more likely to kill someone also. Who has a goblet? Also, what kind of reporter describes it as a goblet and not what is more likely, which is probably plastic cup?
Maybe it really
Where
was
you
a
got
goblet.
Goblet? I don't even know what a goblet is. How is
I don't
goblet
know. Remember, Little John used to carry that chalice.
That's
around?
A chalice, not a goblet. They didn't say chalice. They said goblet. I don't know, difference? But there must be one. Why do we have two different words for it?
I think goblet more
demon. I think the goblet is the evil version demonic. Of a chalice. A chalice is for Jesus' blood. A goblet is for 12-year-old's blood.
What is a goblet? I picture like a real like ornate round bulbous wine glass.
Me too. Something
right?
that you would have to carry with two hands. That may be made out of pewter, or that the what are the big pans made out of? The frontier people had cast iron goblet to drink the first graders' blood from, and eat them. How much did these girls think they were going to be able to eat, anyways?
Sometimes they have like jewels in them. I know, like a bite from each kid.
Like I could
I don't
eat
know
15 pigs.
Works.
I couldn't slaughter and eat 15 pigs in the afternoon without somebody discovering it.
They'd have to be really small
well,
children.
Well, they are first graders. I mean, they're in an elementary school. They're about the smallest children they're going to have eggs. No, they could have got infants. I take it. You could kill 15 or 20 infants and probably eat them over a couple hours. And that would probably also, by the way, girls, that would get you to hell. I'm pretty sure that would get you to hell.
I bet the meat would be more
damn
tender,
right,
though.
Especially if you can maybe batter it in some beer, maybe feed the kids some alcohol, like they do with baby cows. I don't know if they actually do that. Is that a thing they do?
Baby cows are usually like veal.
Yeah, but don't they, like, isn't there like some sort of...
Asia, I think they might feed them like the leftover grain from the beer or something, like Wagyu.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So girls,
happen.
The point is you gotta fatten up those first graders before you kill them with some, if you want Wagyu fitter, you gotta do it right.
It's some prime child meat, right?
Some prime
there.
Beef.
Yeah. Anything else going on in the world we should discuss? Midterm elections coming up.
Yeah, we got
Will it be a blue wave, Mr.
It'll probably be like, you know, like the blue stuff you put in a toilet to clean it? It'll be like that after a woman has had her period. So it's going to be a little red mixed in there, but mostly blue.
So kind of purple.
But more blue. It's not going to congeal into purple. It's just going to still be, it's going to be like red water in blue oil.
Good prediction. On that note, thank you for listening to MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com. The show, you putting the show
right up?
All right, so we'll still keep the streak alive. You can listen to it on halfguarded.com, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. There's Half-Guarded
Stitcher.
Twitter. There's an Instagram account. There's Stitcher. There's a Facebook account. Check them all out. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.